Welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting shows from radio's golden age. I'm your host, Mark Levanier. In the Sour Sitcoms, later on we hear The Great Gildersleeve, but right now it's Lucille Ball and Richard Denning in the program My Favorite Husband. This episode first heard on CBS on October 14, 1950, called Dinner for 12.
It's time for My Favorite Husband, starring Lucille Ball.
Hello, everybody.
Yes, it's the Gay Family Series, starring Lucille Ball with Richard Denning. In a little white two-story house located at 321 Bundy Drive, in the bustling little suburb of Sheridan Falls, George Cooper is just leaving for the bank.
Goodbye, my little husband. Kiss me, baby. You'll be home for dinner, won't you?
Uh-oh, dinner. Liz, I forgot to tell you something.
What?
Now, promise me you won't get mad.
Oh, go ahead. Nothing you say will upset me this morning. I'm in a good mood, and I'm going to stay that way all day long.
I invited Mother to dinner.
Well, that was a short day.
Now, Liz, you promised you wouldn't get mad.
I'm not mad, but your mother was here for dinner just 2 days ago.
That was 2 weeks ago.
How time flies.
Oh, Liz, really, you're being very unfair. She's coming over to dinner tonight, so why don't you just be nice to her?
Okay, George, I'll be nice to her. I'll feed the hand that bites me. Spinach, Mother Cooper?
Thank you, Liz, dear.
George, would you like some spinach?
I don't believe so, Liz.
But George, baby. Now we should eat our spinach.
But I don't like spinach.
Oh, we must all eat a well-balanced meal to keep our strength up. After all, food is the fuel, and your body is the furnace.
Yeah, but George's furnace has turned into a pot-bellied stove.
I must say, Elizabeth, I don't consider that George is overweight at all. In fact, I think he's been looking a little thin and peaked lately.
Here it comes.
Have you been getting enough to eat, baby?
Oh, sure, Mother.
Well, you don't look like it to me, baby.
Don't you worry, Mother Cooper. Baby gets his pablum every 3 hours.
Well, coffee, anyone?
Not for George, Katie. It keeps him awake, and you know he needs his beauty sleep.
Coffee, Mrs. Cooper?
No, Katie, it keeps me awake. And you know I need my ugly nap.
All right, Liz. Let's talk about Monday night. What are you having for dinner?
Monday night?
Oh, no, I forgot to tell you.
What?
I invited the Atterburys and some important out-of-town clients for dinner.
Oh, well, that isn't so bad, dear. How many extra will there be? 2, 4?
10.
10? As in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10?
Yes, and 2 of us makes 12.
12?
Well, but, honey, we've had 12 to dinner before.
I know, but I'm afraid Katie will get mad.
No, she won't.
Oh, I thought you were in the kitchen.
No, ma'am.
Well, I know it's short notice, Katie. It's only 2 days away. But do you mind if we have 12 people to dinner Monday night?
Not at all. I think it's a wonderful idea.
Well, Katie, are you sure it won't bother you?
It won't bother me at all. I leave on my vacation Sunday.
Oh, no. I forgot.
Oh, gosh. What'll we do without Katie?
Oh, that's simple enough. Liz will cook the dinner for 12 people.
Liz cooking for 12 people. Oh, no.
Well, let's all have a big laugh. It's good for the digestion. Ha, 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 ha.
Now, Liz, don't get sore. You'll have to admit that's a pretty funny idea.
I fail to see what's so amusing about it. I could cook dinner.
Of course, dear. If you knew how to cook.
Well, I do know how to cook.
Oh, Liz.
What was wrong with the meal you just ate?
Liz, did you cook dinner tonight?
Certainly. I didn't put too much cheese in the souffle, did I?
Oh. So you made the souffle, Elizabeth?
Yes. Did you like it?
Why, it was delicious. In fact, it was so good, I wonder if you'd give me your recipe.
I'd be glad to. I'll phone it to you in the morning.
Oh, no, dear. I'd like it right now.
Oh. Well, you just put all the cheese and things in a bowl, and then you take a piece of souffle and lay it on the top.
Yes, dear. But you didn't tell me how many eggs you used.
Oh, eggs. Katie, you were watching me. How many eggs did I use?
Six.
That's right. Six eggs.
How much milk?
Milk. Katie...
I wasn't watching.
Ooh.
Well, how many cups did it sound like?
It sounded like one cup.
Good ear, Katie. It was one cup.
Look, Liz, why don't you just admit you don't know how to cook and we'll hire someone to come in and get the dinner for us?
Well, for 12 people, maybe...
George, baby, since Liz has failed you in your hour of need, why don't you let Mother come in and cook for you? I'd be glad to do it.
That does it. I'm going to cook the dinner.
Oh, come off it, Liz.
I'd like to see it when you're done.
Go ahead, laugh. I'll show you. I'll get dinner for 12 people, and it'll be the best, the tastiest, the most wonderful dinner you ever saw.
Liz, is my breakfast ready yet?
Here you are, George. Bacon, fried eggs, toast, and coffee.
This looks wonderful, honey.
Thank you.
Did you cook all this yourself?
Sure, nothing to it. Go ahead, dig in.
Liz, these eggs are stone cold.
They are. Oh, darn it.
Well, how could they get so cold? How long ago did you cook them?
Last night.
What?
Well, George, I'm going to be so busy with the dinner party today. I cooked your breakfast last night and quick froze it.
Oh.
Well, it's a perfectly good fried egg. I just didn't defrost it enough.
Well, thanks anyway. I'll eat breakfast downtown.
Well, suit yourself.
Hey, Liz, about this dinner party, are you sure you want to go through with it? Maybe we should have someone in.
Now, don't worry, George. I have someone to help me.
Who?
Iris Atterbury.
Oh, brother. I get a great mental picture of you and Iris in the kitchen. Two blind mice.
Never mind. We'll be just fine.
Woohoo! Anybody home?
Oh, we're in the dining room, Iris.
Oh, Liz girl, George boy.
Hi, Iris. Well, I've got to run or I'll be late.
I'll see you later, dear. Come on out in the kitchen.
Okay. What are you going to have, Liz?
Well, I thought I'd have chicken.
Broiled chicken. Oh, I love it.
Iris, please. Does Oscar of the Waldorf have broiled chicken?
I don't know. Does he?
We're having poulette amandine. Huh? I have a wonderful French recipe.
Oh, that sounds exciting. Is it hard to do?
No, there's nothing to it. All it calls for is, let's see now, for the dressing, onions, butter, eggs, parsley, celery, and either mushrooms or nut meat. I love mushrooms, but I don't have any in the house.
Well, I'll run down to the grocery while you're getting things ready.
Oh, wait a minute. I just remembered. We have some growing in the backyard.
Well, that's fine, fine. Oh, then I won't have to go to the... Older girl. Are they mushrooms or toadstools?
What's the difference?
Toadstools are poisonous.
Oh, dear. Well, isn't there any way of finding out if they're toadstools or not?
Oh, sure. I'll go out and eat one. If I'm not back in half an hour, use nut meats.
Oh, Iris, don't bother. We'll put in some walnuts instead.
Okay.
Well, let's get started. I'll cut the onion.
Well, I'll help you. We'll get done faster.
Okay, here's an onion for you.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you know, I can't understand why people make such a fuss over cooking. There's really nothing to it.
Yeah.
You just follow the recipe and poof, chicken almondine.
Yeah. Hand me another onion.
Here. Oh, Iris, I didn't know cooking could be such fun.
Neither did I.
This is the best time I've had in ages.
Me too.
As we return to the Coopers, it's several hours later, and we find the kitchen knee-deep in dirty saucepans, greasy skillets, broken eggshells, and well-thumbed cookbooks. Surveying the wreckage proudly are Liz and Iris Atterbury.
Well, Iris, isn't it about time to take the chickens out of the oven?
Well, we've got to be sure, girl.
Yeah.
Let's see. What oven did you use?
Well, the only one we've got, that one on the stove.
No, I meant what temperature.
Oh, what a temperature. 600 degrees.
That sounds a little high.
Well, it's what the book said.
Oh, no, look here. The book says 300.
I know, but we have two chickens, so I doubled it.
I never would have thought of that.
Let's see, what time do we put the chickens in?
9 o'clock, and it's 2:30 now.
5.5 hours. Well, they ought to be cooked.
Ooh, let's take them out of the oven.
I can't wait to see them.
Well? Where are they?
They've got to be in there. Look in the back.
Okay. Iris, don't you know this is a gas stove? Why did you put charcoal in here?
Charcoal?
Yeah, see in the back? Two little lumps of charcoal.
With legs and wings. It was all those breadcrumbs you put in. They burned like toast.
Maybe we can take them out and scrape them.
No, I don't think so, Liz. I think they're done for.
Oh, no, it's Mother Cooper.
What timing?
Timing nothing. If I know her, she waited outside till she caught the aroma of burnt meat.
You.
She's lost the scent. Quick, Iris, shut the oven.
Okay.
In the kitchen, Mother Cooper.
Oh, Elizabeth, dear.
Hello, Mrs. Cooper.
Oh, Iris, how are you? I just dropped over to see how you were coming with your little dinner, Elizabeth.
Oh, fine.
What are you having, if I'm not being too nosy?
You nosy.
Well, what are you having?
Chicken almondine.
Really? That's my favorite dish. But you must watch the chickens once they're in the oven. If you aren't careful, they'll burn.
No.
Yes, it's true. You just keep your eye on them until they get to be a nice, crinkly brown.
How about a nice, crusty black?
Well? Elizabeth, what's that burn smell?
It's me. Iris just gave me a hot foot.
Oh, don't be silly. It's something in the oven. Let me see in there.
No, don't.
Uh-huh. Just as I thought.
Oh.
They look like two little blackbirds. Well, what are you going to do now?
I'm going to get 22 more and bake them in a pie.
I wash my hands of the whole thing.
Good.
Well, I certainly know when I'm not wanted.
Since when?
Well. Good afternoon, Elizabeth.
Must you rush off?
Well.
That's telling her, Liz. She thinks you can't cook a dinner. So this one wasn't very good. You can cook another one.
Sure.
Girl, what's wrong?
I can't go through this again.
Oh, sure you can. And I'll help you get started before I leave.
Oh, leave?
Well, yes, girl. I have to get my hair fixed for the dinner tonight.
You mean I'm going to have to burn the next 2 chickens all by myself?
Now, Liz, you just buck up. Look, I'll stop by the market on the way to the beauty shop and have them send out 2 more chickens.
Well, okay.
Mm-hmm. And this time, don't try anything fancy. Put them in the pressure cooker. That way they'll be done in a hurry.
Yeah, in a hurry.
Yeah, and while they're on their way here, you can start the dressing.
Start the dressing?
Start the dress. Liz?
Huh?
You're looking a little dazed. Are you sure you know what to do?
Oh, sure. While you're having your hair done in the pressure cooker, I'll take the chickens to the beauty parlor. I mean, while the chickens are having their hair done, I'll be dressing in the pressure cooker.
Poor dear, I know what you mean.
That's good.
Well, if you need me, I'll be down at the beauty cooker. The pressure parlor! Good luck, girl. Goodbye.
Bye. Hello.
Is that you, Liz?
Yes.
I just got home from the beauty parlor. How's it going?
Oh, sure.
What happened, girl?
You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
Well, tell me, tell me. How'd the 2 chickens turn out?
Which 2?
Well, I know you burned 2. What about the other 2?
Which 2?
Will you stop saying which 2? Tell me what happened.
Iris, you're talking to a woman who's gone through 8 chickens today.
Liz, what about the 2 in the pressure cooker?
The pressure cooker exploded.
Well, what about the chickens?
They look delicious.
What do you mean, they look delicious?
I can't get them down off the ceiling.
Well, that's 4. What about 5 and 6?
Gone.
Gone?
I got so confused cleaning up after 3 and 4, I threw 5 and 6 in the garbage disposal.
This is unbelievable.
Finally, the butcher ran out of dressed birds and sent out 2 live ones.
Well, did you cook them?
Cook them? I can't even catch them. When last seen, 7 and 8 were going east on Bundy Drive.
Oh, you poor thing. 8 chickens and nothing to show for it.
Oh, yes, I have. Before she left, 7 laid an egg on the kitchen table.
Well, look, Liz, I had a feeling something like this might happen. So
Iris, I have to go. There's someone at the back door.
Well, don't worry about a thing, girl. I have a feeling everything's going to be all right.
Oh, sure. Goodbye.
I'm coming. Mrs. George Cooper?
Yes?
Dinner for 12 from Johnson's Catering Service.
A dinner for 12 people? Let me see. Oh, roast beef and potatoes and green beans and Yorkshire pudding. Oh, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't send it. You just brought it. Where's the card?
Here.
Mrs. Cooper, I had a hunch you might have trouble with your dinner. Good luck, Katie. Oh, bless Katie and her hunches.
Yeah. Oh, I'll be seeing you.
Thank you again.
The pleasure was all mine.
Oh, that wonderful Katie. My dinner party's saved. I'll have to call Iris and tell her. Now, who's that?
Hi, lady.
Did you forget something?
Well, not exactly. I got in my truck and I looked at the address of my next delivery. It's you.
Me? Well, let's see what this one is. Oh, my goodness. Lobster thermidor and French fries and asparagus. Oh, isn't that just scrumptious?
Yeah. Aren't you going to kiss me?
Let me see the card. I knew you'd be needing this, dear girl. Signed, Iris. Oh, Iris is the best friend a girl ever had, isn't she?
I'll say. Iris who?
Never mind. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Oh, that Iris. I have to call her. Oh, no. If that's who I think it is, I'm up to my snood in food. You again.
Yeah, it's me, the Horn of Plenty.
Well, let's see what this one is. Oh, my, would you look at that. Isn't it beautiful?
Yeah. What is it?
It's pheasant under glass. Where's the card?
Over here.
Iris told me you were having your troubles. Hope this little snack fills the bill, Mr. Atterbury. Oh, isn't that sweet?
Yeah.
Oh, everything's turned out all right after all. I'm so grateful to you for bringing all these things. I want to give you a little something.
Oh, boy.
Unpucker, bud. Here's your tip.
Gee, a bowl of Yorkshire pudding. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Hello.
Elizabeth? I just called to set your mind at ease, dear. Even after the way you treated me, I've saved the day for you.
You have?
Uh-huh. I made a complete dinner for 12, and I'll bring it over.
Well, that's very nice of you, Mother Cooper, but thanks just the same. Dinner's all ready and waiting in the kitchen.
Really, Elizabeth?
Mm-hmm.
What are you having?
Well, I had a little extra time today, so I'm giving my guests a choice of prime ribs, lobster thermidor, or pheasant under glass.
But I don't understand.
Well, why don't you come over to dinner, too, Mother? I have plenty of food.
Really?
Yes, George will pick you up. Goodbye. La-di-da! La-di-da! Hello!
Hello, dear. How's everything going?
Oh, fine, fine.
You didn't knock yourself out cooking, did you?
No, George. It was no effort at all. What time will you be here?
Well, that's what I called to tell you about.
What do you mean?
Well, honey, it's the funniest thing. I just checked with my calendar and...
Yes?
The dinner isn't tonight. It's next week.
Oh, no!
My Favorite Husband, Untuned to Yesterday, from October 14th, 1950, on CBS. In that same year, star Lucille Ball was in two motion pictures, among them Fancy Pants, with Bob Hope. It's an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier. And now time for The Great Gildersleeve, with Harold Perry as Gildy and Walter Tetley as Leroy, who has the flu, in this episode from NBC, first heard on February 17th, 1946.
The Kraft Foods Company presents The Great Gildersleeve. Yeah. It's The Great Gildersleeve, starring Harold Perry. Brought to you by the Kraft Foods Company, makers of parquet margarine and a complete line of famous quality food products. No one will ever know whether it was a night of unseasonable warm weather, or a snack of milk and pickles before he went to bed, or if it was the brownies themselves who disturbed his slumber. The fact remains, however, that the Great Gildersleeve got up this morning feeling grumpy, and we find him now sitting grumpily at the breakfast table.
Toast is cold.
My goodness, Leroy, eat your breakfast. You're just sitting there playing with that cereal.
I'm not very hungry.
Well, eat it anyhow. Bertie wants to get away.
I'm in no hurry, Mr. Gildersleeve. Longs to get downtown by 11.
Oh, Bertie, as long as you're going out today, is there something in the icebox we can eat for supper this evening?
Oh, yes, sir. There's some of that beef stew from yesterday if Miss Marjorie will just heat it up.
Oh, I'm not going to be home for supper.
You're not? Who said you're not?
I'm going to a moonlight skating party with Ben. We're starting right after school.
There's no moonlight at 3:30.
We'll wait.
Well, it seems to me I might be consulted about these things. After all, on Bertie's day off.
Oh, I told you about this a week ago, and you said it was okay.
I have no recollection of it.
Mr. Gildersleeve, you can warm up the stew yourself. It's just as easy as boiling an egg.
I may do it if I'm in the mood.
Ha! You'll wind up at the Summerfield Grill.
With Leroy? And by the way, Leroy, it's time to go to school and you haven't eaten a thing. Now get busy.
I don't know if I should go to school. I don't feel so good. I coughed a couple of times during the night, too.
No, Leroy.
That's right, Unky. That's right, he did. I heard him.
I feel a little snuffly right now.
Oh? Have these symptoms by chance any connection with the problem of your homework, Leroy?
What do you mean?
Did you get up early and do your homework this morning as you promised to?
Well, sure, I got up. It wasn't so very early.
Uh-huh. But you prepared a talk on some current event, did you?
Sure, I got it out of the morning paper.
You did? What story did you select, if I may ask?
The weather.
The weather for a current event?
It was the only short one I could find.
Young man, you're not prepared. Now confess it.
Oh, well, I should worry. You haven't got our regular teacher anyway.
What difference does that make?
Because the substitute is Miss Goodwin, and you're a good friend of hers.
Leroy, you should be ashamed of yourself. Miss Goodwin is the principal of your school. Besides, if you make a stupid recitation, what will she think of me?
I don't know. Told you I don't feel good anyhow.
Well, you won't get out of this with any fake illness, I'll tell you that. You'll go to school like a man and face the music.
Come on, Leroy, if you're coming.
He's coming, all right.
Mr. Gildersleeve, it's 10:30. You mind if I leave now?
No, indeed, Bertie. You should have been out of here long ago. So should I.
Yes, sir. Well, I'll see you tomorrow.
Yes, Bertie. Have a good time.
Yes, sir. Don't you starve yourself now, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Don't worry. Yeah, I'll get it, Bertie. Yes, yes. Keep your shirt on. Hello? No, this is not 2431. It's 2413. You think people would learn to dial a number, wasting other people's time? Ha. This is 2413. Oh, hello, Bessie. Yes, I'm coming down to the office. Well, I've been trying to get started, but the phone keeps ringing. I was practically out the door just now when you... All right, I'll be there, Bessie. How does she expect me to get to the office if she keeps phoning me every minute?
Hi, Unc.
Hello, Leroy. Leroy, what are you doing here?
Miss Goodwin sent me home. She took my temperature and said I should be in bed.
You have a temperature, my boy? How much? Why didn't you tell me about it?
How did I know? I told you I had a cold.
Oh, my boy, forgive me. Forgive me for doubting you. Here, you get right into bed and I'll call you a doctor.
I don't need a doctor. It's just a little flu or something. Everybody's got it.
It's an epidemic. Come on upstairs, my boy. We'll cover you up good and proper. Hot water bottle, that's what you need. Yes, sir, a hot water bottle and some orange juice. Keep drinking liquids. That's the way to beat this thing.
How about a Coke?
We'll see about that later. Come on, get your clothes off now. Wait. Let me feel your forehead. Miss Goodwin say how much of a temperature you had?
No.
You feel hot. Where are your pajamas, my boy?
In the closet.
Yes, yes.
Oh.
Quite a mess in here, Leroy. What the...
Those are my drums.
Here, get into your pajamas quickly. Tell me, why do you keep the drums in there?
Well, you won't let me play them. Not since 2 days after Christmas.
Get into bed, my boy. And as soon as you're well, you can play the drums all you want.
I can? Gee, thanks, Uncle.
Cover up now. Do you need more blankets?
Heck no.
I'll get you a hot water bottle.
I don't need it.
Oh, yes, you do. The patient never knows what's best for him. Now, you lie quietly while I get it. Wonder where the darn thing is. Should be in the medicine chest, but it isn't. Where is the hot water bottle? Do you know, my boy?
It's hanging under the wash basin.
Hanging? Oh. Not very hot. Funny. Bertie must have used it all up washing the dishes. Well, after all, I don't want to scald the kid. There. Yes, sir, this is going to feel mighty cozy, my boy. This will take the chill off your bones. Here. Shove it under the covers, huh?
It doesn't feel very hot.
Yeah, that's because you've got a fever. Now, are you comfortable?
Sure, I guess so.
How about a nice tall glass of orange juice?
That'd be super. Can I have some honey in it?
If you want. Honey, did you say?
Sure, that's the only way I like it.
Well, you shall have it. Your old uncle's going to take care of you, don't worry. You know, Leroy, I may lose my temper with you once in a while, but down deep underneath, I love you very much. Why, if anything was to happen to you, my boy, I don't know what I'd do. I want you to forgive me for not believing you were ill this morning. Will you do that?
Sure, that's okay.
That's the boy. Now, Bertie's gone for the day, and Marjorie's not here either. But I'll just stay home from the office and show you what a good nurse I can be. After I fix your orange juice, we might play a little game of checkers. How's that sound?
Super.
Super, yeah. And I'll fix your lunch after a while. Be something you like, too. Your uncle can cook a little bit if she wants to. Yes, sir. After lunch, I'll tell you a story or read to you or we'll play games, whatever you like.
Thanks, Uncle.
Don't thank me. When a boy is sick, he deserves the best of everything. And that's what you're going to get. Now, you lie there and keep covered up, and I'll go down and fix your orange juice. Light bother you coming in the window?
No, that's all right.
Well, if it bothers you, my boy, I'll pull the shade. Now, I'll be back with the orange juice before you can say Judge Hooker.
Hey, this might not be so bad.
Now let's get back to the great Gildersleeve. Concerned about Leroy's health, he has spent a frantic half hour trying to get Dr. Pettibone on the phone. Failing to get anyone but the operator, and not getting very far with her, he has turned in his extremity to his friendly neighborhood druggist.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you?
Peavy, what's good for a cold?
What's good for a cold?
Yes.
Now, that's a question. Is this for yourself, Mr. Gildersleeve, or for a friend?
What difference does it make? It happens to be for Leroy.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear about that. But then there are lots of colds around, a lot of them. Man came in here just this morning. He had a cold.
Yes, yes.
Last evening, we thought for a while Mrs. Peavy was coming down with one. She complained of feeling chilly.
Oh? How is Mrs. Peavy now?
Oh, she's all right. It turned out the back door was open. A lot of it around, though.
Yeah, well, what I want to know is, what do you do for it? What do you take?
Have you tried aspirin and bicarbonate of soda? A lot of people take that.
Aspirin and bicarbonate of soda?
In a glass of water.
That will cure it?
Well, no, I wouldn't say that, but... A lot of people take it.
I'm not interested in what people take, Peavy. I want something that'll cure Leroy. Now, you've got all this stuff on your shelves here, these cold remedies and so on. What do you recommend?
Mr. Gildersleeve, I'll tell you. I'm not a physician. I'm just a pharmacist, and I don't like to prescribe for people.
I'm not asking you to prescribe. I'm simply asking you whether any of these so-called cold remedies of yours are any good. Are they?
Some of them are excellent.
Will they cure a cold?
I've been told that a glass of hot lemonade taken at bedtime...
Will they cure a cold?
Mr. Gildersleeve, why don't you call in a doctor?
If I tried to. These darn doctors, you never can get them when you need them. And I must say, you're not much better.
No, I wouldn't say that.
Well, you're not, Peavy. I come in here, my little nephew's lying ill at home. You've got the stuff right on the shelves there, and you won't recommend anything.
I'm merely trying to be ethical, Mr.
Ethical? I ask you if something's any good. Well, now, I wouldn't say that. That isn't being ethical, Peavy. That's being shifty.
Well, now,
don't say it! For the last time, let me ask you. Haven't you got one single thing in this entire store that you can recommend for a cold?
Yes, I have. In fact, I use it myself. So does Mrs. Peavy.
Well, come on, man. What is it?
Mm-hmm. Kleenex.
Oh, goodbye. Sounds awfully quiet up there. Wonder if the little fellow's asleep. Well, I hope so. Sleep is the best medicine, they say. Well, I'll tiptoe up in a few minutes. What the... Leroy? If that kid's out of bed... Leroy?
Oh, hi, Unc. Guess I must have dropped off to sleep for a minute. I think I feel a little better now after my nap.
Leroy, were you out of bed?
Out of bed? Me?
When I entered this house, I heard the sound of running feet up here. They were either those of a small boy or a very large rat.
That's funny. I didn't hear anything.
We won't pursue the matter any further at this time, my boy. But hereafter, no getting out of bed, understand?
Well, I wouldn't think
of... If you need anything or if you want anything, just call me. I'll get it for you, understand?
Gee, you're super, Unc. You're a super uncle.
Yes. Now, remember, if you want anything, just call me. I'll be down in my study.
Okay.
Try and get a little sleep, my boy. It'll do you good.
Hey, Unc!
Yes, Leroy? What is it?
Could I have a Coke, Unc? I think I'd feel better if I had a Coke.
Well, I don't know what the doctor would say.
Coke is liquid, Unc, and liquids are important.
Well, the heck with the doctor. He isn't on the job anyway. Would serve him good and right if I gave you the wrong thing.
Gosh, Unc, you're so good to me.
Yes. Keep covered up now.
Hey, Unc!
Oh, nuts. Yes, Leroy, what is it now?
When you come up, bring the funnies, will you? And some scissors. And some paste.
Oh, well, have to humor him, I guess. What?
What you doing?
I'm just sitting here.
Where?
On the stairs.
What doing?
Trying to get my breath. Bertie would have to be off today, confound it.
Unc.
What?
I'm hungry.
I just gave you lunch.
Yeah, canned soup and prune juice.
You're lucky to get it. Now what?
I'm lonesome.
He's lonesome. Well, I'm tired. Zoof. I've been up these stairs 50 times today if I've been up them once. And you tell me you're lonesome.
Well, there's nothing to do.
How can you say that, my boy? I brought you funny papers. I brought you games. I brought you books. I get you a jigsaw puzzle off the top shelf in the sewing room closet and nearly broke my neck. Look at it, all over the floor. And all these little scraps of paper. Look at your bed. What do you do to it?
I don't do anything.
Looks like a weasel's nest.
Just gets tangled up.
Well, straighten it out. Here. What was that?
My pistol and my baseball bat.
What are they doing in your bed?
I don't know. know.
Confound it. Lie down, Leroy. Straighten out. Pull down your pajama top. Pull up your covers. Act sensible.
God!
You're not here to be entertained, young man. You're here to get well. What are you looking at me like that for? All right, Leroy, I'm sorry. What would you like me to do? Would you like me to read to you? Huh?
If you want to.
Well, I don't want exactly. I have to do other things downstairs. Just offer to do it if you think it would amuse you. Now, here's a nice book. The Wind in the Willows. Yeah, Christmas book, evidently. How about it? Would you like me to read that?
If you want to.
I just told you I don't want to at all. I'm doing this for your sake.
I know what would amuse me, Alk, if I could listen to the radio.
I'm offering, Leroy, to read you The Wind in the Willows. Do you want me to or do you not?
Well, I looked at the first chapter, Unc. It doesn't look so hot. But if you could bring up the radio.
Lug the radio clear up here, that great big thing?
You let Marge have it when she was sick.
All right, I'll bring up the radio, ye gods. It's a dinger. Well.
Oink.
There. Radio.
Gosh, Unc, you're a super.
I'm a sucker. Go ahead now and amuse yourself. Don't let me hear another peep out of you. Like...
Wait, you haven't plugged it in.
Oh? Where's the socket?
Under the bed.
Oh, for...
Here, give me the plug up.
Stay under the covers. I'll do it.
You'll never make it that way, Unc. You have to get down on your stomach and slide under. It's the only way.
Well, if I have to.
I fit.
You'll never make it. You better let me. You better let me.
Oh, stop bouncing up and down up there.
Sorry.
Leroy, conditions under your bed here are an absolute disgrace. Simply filthy. Old shoes. Comic books. Yep!
Unc, what's wrong?
It's all right. It's just a bird's nest. I thought it was something else. Will you tell me what a bird's nest is doing down here?
Must have got lost. You...
There.
You coming out, Unc?
If I can get out.
Can I turn it on now? Did you plug it in?
If you want to.
Unc, look at your suit.
Don't tell me to look at it. Look at it yourself. Just look at it. Dust all over it.
That's what happens if you crawl around on the floor.
Leroy, the very minute you're well, I want you to get under there with a pick and shovel and clean that place out. You understand? Not Bertie, you. What? Oh, the radio.
Five days now since Dwight Finchley returned to Sable Groves, but he has not yet learned that June Trunnion is no longer engaged to marry Crest Barry.
Oh, for heaven's sake.
As for June, her new interest in helping Dale Thurmond regain his talent for drawing has made her an entirely different girl.
Leroy?
But I like it.
But as Dale fights slowly back to life and hope, Bar Kramer and Aunt Millicent see a threat to their hold over Edge Bindle and the Bindle fortune.
Poppycock.
I like it.
Perhaps this is why we find Edge talking to old Dr. Clockmaster in the doctor's office this morning behind closed doors. Now, go on with the story of Gladys Walmrath.
Leroy, I won't have you listening to this kind of bill. No, neither do you. By George, there ought to be a law.
Oh, that's me. mean.
It's not mean. It's for your own good. Now stop whining or I'll take... What's that?
Doorbell sounds like...
You stay here and don't turn on that radio. All right. Eve Goodwin.
I've been ringing for the longest time, Throckmorton.
Come on in, Eve. Come on in.
I knew there must be someone at home, so I just kept ringing.
I'm sorry. Leroy and I are upstairs listening to the radio. I don't usually listen to it myself, of course. Horrible stuff. But you know how it is. When the kiddies are sick, it's hard to deny them anything. Let me take your things, Eve.
How is Leroy Throckmorton? I worried about him after I sent him home. I could see he wasn't himself this morning.
He's certainly been himself this afternoon.
Oh, I'm so glad. I thought I'd just stop in and inquire and bring him these school books in case he wants to brush up.
Well, that's very thoughtful of you, Eve.
I wonder if it'd be all right if I went up and spoke to him for a moment. That is, if he's not asleep.
Certainly. I don't know what he's up to by now, but I can guarantee he's not asleep. After you, Eve. Go ahead.
Children are so active, aren't they, when they're sick?
You may say that again.
Unless, of course, they're really sick. And then they're so pitiful.
Leroy! Someone to see you, my boy. This way, back here.
Oh.
That's his room. Go right in. You're right in, Eve.
Oh, I'm afraid he is asleep, Throckmorton. See, his eyes are closed.
What the?
Let's not disturb him, please.
Just a minute. Leroy?
Hello, Uncle Mort.
What is this? Hope we didn't wake you, my boy. Here's Miss Goodwin to see you.
Hello, Miss Goodwin.
Hello, Leroy. How are you feeling tonight?
A little better, I guess, thank you.
Oh, really, Throckmorton, he seems terribly weak. Have you had the doctor?
Don't worry, Eve, I think you'll pull through.
I brought you a few school books, Leroy, in case you should feel strong enough to want to keep up with what the class is doing.
Gee, thanks, Miss Goodwin. I don't know if I'll feel strong enough, but thanks a million, just the same. Gosh, I've been so worried about my schoolwork. Being out a whole day like this, I worried all day.
Yes, yes.
Now, don't you worry. You'll make it up, Leroy.
Why, sure. You'll be back in school by day after tomorrow, or I'll know the reason why.
Unc just says that to cheer me up. He's so good to me, Unc is. He lets me listen to the radio and everything, don't you, Unc?
Yes. Yes, Leroy and I have had quite a day together, haven't we, my boy? Quite a day.
I sometimes think we never really get to know our children till they're ill, and we have a chance to spend a little time with them.
Oh, that's so true. Why, some days I scarcely see Leroy from dawn to dewy eve. That's one reason I was glad to cancel all my business engagements for the day and just spend it here, tending to the little fellow's needs. Sure, you're comfortable, my boy?
Yes, thank you, Uncle Mort. As comfortable as I can be.
You sure there's nothing I can get you? Another pillow?
No, thank you. I wouldn't want to be a bother.
Oh, no bother. Gracious. Here, let me plump this one up a little for you. There. Comfy now?
Mm-hmm. Unky.
Yes, my boy?
Lay your hand on my forehead. Feel so nice and cool.
There, there, my boy.
Gee.
You know, Throckmorton, seeing you and Leroy together like this, there's something so touching about a man alone with a child. His clumsy tenderness, his efforts to do the little things a mother would do. It makes a woman want to help. Yes, Throckmorton.
Let's go downstairs and talk.
All right, let's.
Don't leave me.
Now, Leroy, say goodnight to Miss Goodwin.
Good night, Leroy.
Don't go, Miss Goodwin, please. Gosh, all day long I've been wishing somebody would come and read The Wind in the Willows to me.
Leroy.
I'd love to read it to you. Some other time, Leroy. But right now, I think your uncle knows best.
She's right, my boy.
But I get lonesome all alone up here. I get scared of the dark.
Gosh, that's nonsense, and you know it.
Well, I'm sick.
Eve, I think you better go ahead downstairs.
Oh, certainly, Throckmorton.
I'll hear the boys' prayers, and I'll be right down.
Good night, Leroy.
Say good night to Miss Goodwin.
Good night, Miss Goodwin.
Sleep tight and get well soon, Leroy.
Yes, yes.
Now, you little rascal, you listen to me. You're no more sick than I am.
I am, too.
Well, you're certainly not as sick as you're letting on. Nobody's that sick. Look, Leroy, I've spent the whole day with you up here. I've played games with you, and I've fed you, and I've waited on you hand and foot. Now, have a heart.
What do you want me to do?
Let me go downstairs and entertain Miss Goodwin.
How are you going to entertain her, Unc?
With my sparkling conversation. How do you think?
Here, you better take along the wind and the willows.
Leroy, by George, you're all right. When you're as old as I am, I'll do the same for you.
What a character.
The Great Gildersleeve will be back in a few moments.
Are you still listening to that radio?
Sure.
Oh, well.
The Kraft Foods Company presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Oh, no, not that. Go to bed, Leroy. Good night, everybody.
The Great Gildersleeve is played by Harold Perry. It is written by John Whedon and Sam Moore. The music is by Jack Meekin. This is John Lang speaking for the Kraft Foods Company and inviting you to listen in again next week for the further adventures of The Great Gildersleeve.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
The Great Gildersleeve on Tuned to Yesterday from February 17, 1946 on NBC. That wraps up this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levanier. Thanks for listening.